Welcome to another day in my life as a conservative woman trying to raise a liberal dog. You might remember him from my video on how to talk to your dog about gun safety. Now, I tried raising him right. I traced the problem back to when I started using these steps with him as a puppy. He now refuses to get in the car without them. Welfare state. He hates fences. Thinks we should take them all down. He's definitely pretty liberal sexually, too. Life is one giant nap for him. He doesn't understand that it takes hard work. He thinks money just grows on trees. Food, well, he relies on me for everything. Definitely agrees with handouts. I was hoping the move from New York to Florida would red pill him. Instead, he got his balls chopped off. He still isn't a girl, but he definitely is a low T soy beta. He is also part of the very controversial movement, Black Labs Matter. I keep trying to explain to him that all labs matter. And I try to teach him good lessons, but he doesn't want to hear them. Even with all that, I'll love him anyways.
Everybody, I'm Dave Rubin. This is the Rubin Report on April 30th, 2024. We're live streaming on Rumble, YouTube, and Locals. Share, tap that subscription button. You'll see the notifications, all that good stuff. I should note, no post-game show today. I'm headed to an event with Chris Rufo tomorrow at Ralston College in Savannah, Georgia. The theme of today's show is that there is an opportunity, people. Can you hear me? Is the audio working? There is an opportunity right now for the widest tent in modern American politics. The left is melting down between the jihadists and whatever is left of something sane on the left, and there ain't much. And right now on the right, DeSantis and Trump have come together. We'll get to that on the second half of the show. And then all the disaffected libs, the Tulsi Gabbards, the RFKs, a lot of political disagreement, but a general agreement that the American experiment is good. And if we can collect all of these people right now, if we can all be a little bit more mature, if we can all just decide not to go in on the let's burn it down thing, then I think there's a chance to save everything. Let's start by taking sort of an unlikely political person, Jerry Seinfeld, because Jerry Seinfeld was known for what? A show about nothing. The irony of Jerry Seinfeld now being somewhat political is that his comedy was always the most apolitical thing. No one really knew what Jerry thought about anything. What's the deal with lampshades? Like, it was all nothing. There was a certain beauty to that. In the last, I'd say, 7 or so years, he started to speak out a bit more about what's going on college campuses. You may remember, I think it was about 7 years ago, he said, I'm no longer going to do comedy on college campuses because they've become so politically correct that you can't make a simple joke. He was making a joke, I think the specific joke was, he was making a joke about like a French king being like, off with their heads, like implying that they were gay or something. And he got booed and he's like, okay, I'm done with that, which I guess is easy to do when you're worth, you know, probably a couple hundred million, which in his case is well-deserved. Anywho, he has gotten more outspoken. He went to Israel after October 7th, and here he is in an interview talking about how the left is demolishing comedy. And do you think maybe that this gives us an opportunity to fix things? I think so. Take a look.
Nothing really affects comedy. People always need it. They need it so badly, and they don't get it. It used to be you would go home at the end of the day, most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family's on. You just expect it. There'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. Mm-hmm. When you write a script and it goes into 4 or 5 different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke. Well, that's the end of your comedy. They move the gates, like in skiing. Yeah. Culture, the gates are moving. Your job is to be agile and clever enough that wherever they put the gates, I'm going to make the gate.
There's so much there because this isn't just about comedy, although I do think the comedy portion of it is important. And actually, I'll show you real quick, Elon Musk actually retweeted that interview and he wrote, make comedy legal again. I show you these Elon Musk retweets. It's not just to show you what Elon's saying, but he signal boosts these things to literally millions of people. As you can see, 53 million views on that 50-second clip that we just showed you. But the point that Jerry's making is actually deeper than just the comedy thing. So you guys get it, why comedy by committee wouldn't work, right? So a stand-up comic gets out there, tries to write something funny. You either live or die on that stage. You get that reaction in real time. What has happened over the last 15 years, probably, as it relates to, really even 20 years, because sitcoms started dying as reality TV kicked in the early 2000s, is that as everything went woke and they brought in DEI departments, literally into entertainment, which DEI is the reverse of entertainment because entertainment should be colorblind and everything else, you started doing comedy by committee and it crushed comedy. You didn't no longer hire the best person because they were the funniest or the most clever or the most interesting. You hired them because, oh my God, that's a trans black lesbian, so we better bring her in to write the sitcom about the white guy. Like, none of it made any sense. But remove the comedy portion of it. What he's talking about is that the middle management people, once you bring in these departments, the middle management people, you have creators, right? And then you have an audience. Whatever this is, whether you're building a product or you're doing stand-up comedy or whatever, you have someone who creates something. And then once you have this middle management thing, you might call this the swamp, you might call this sort of that layer of people who don't do much of anything at companies, but just have meetings and talk about race and everything else, then you actually degrade the product. And once the product has been degraded, say a college university, you end up having rallies for terrorists. So there is something much deeper than just the comedy point here. But comedy has a chance. I really do think it does. I want to show you two clips of this guy. His name is Lionel McCloyne, and he is out there asking some of these Hamas supporters why they hate Israel so much.
I'm very naive. I don't understand how this can be allowed to happen.
And does size matter?
Size of what?
Just like in an intimate situation.
Sure.
How many inches is too many?
All right.
So I just saw some videos of this kid. I just think he's funny. He's just out there. These people, she doesn't even know why she's there. She doesn't even know if she likes a big dong or not. Anyway, one more. Here we go.
You're over here appropriating a space for your own personality.
I'm a journalist.
You're not a journalist.
How do you decide who's a journalist?
I mean, considering I was fired as a journalist, no journalist.
Literally, would you rather be itchy or sticky your whole life?
You're not doing this for like what the actual conversation is, which is getting rid of this country.
Getting rid of this country?
Getting rid of America, getting rid of the West.
You want to get rid of America?
Yes. Everyone here understands that at some level we need to get rid of America completely.
What should we do?
Treat this bitch great
decolonization,
Gaza.
Land back.
What?
Where should we go, though?
In our communities. We need to go leave the capitals, leave the central capitals of commerce, of capital itself.
He doesn't even have to do much to be funny, actually. He just has to let them talk, and that does it. But anyway, I want to connect more deeply what's going on as we break through this politically correct thing, because we have to break through it if we get to the other side. It's literally the only way we can save the country. Like, it's not just political. We're going to have to start creating again and smiling again and thinking again and laughing again and a whole bunch more. And how about growing again? That was a hell of a segue. Guys, let's talk about Fast Growing Trees quick. Did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer, free plant consultation forever. Guys, you know I'm really into greenery and building gardens, and I guarantee you these guys are the best for that. The experts at Fast Growing Trees curate thousands of plants so you can find the perfect fit for your specific climate, location, and needs. You don't have to drive around to nurseries and big gardening centers. Whether you're looking to add some privacy, shade, or natural beauty to your yard, Fast Growing Trees has in-house experts ready to make the right selection with growing and care advice available 24/7. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners of our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using code Reuben at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using code Reuben at checkout, fastgrowingtrees.com. Code Reuben, offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. And now back to me. All right. So from the, let's say, more ridiculous, ludicrous comedy side of what's going on at these universities, there are some really, really horrible things happening. We're going to show you a couple videos. Here are police clashing with students at VCU in Richmond, Virginia, as students had set up barricades. They were throwing bottles at police officers. You're also allowed to express your First Amendment right to free speech, but you cannot take over public spaces, right? You can't just set up encampments wherever you want, et cetera, et cetera. They were repeatedly asked to leave, pick up, and go. They did not, and then this happened. All right, so let's be clear about something, because I think people seem to be a little bit confused. These are not peaceful protesters. You have every right, as I just said, you have every right to walk around and say what you want, short of calling directly for violence against people or a group. And again, they're getting as close to they can as to the edge of that as humanly possible when they're calling for river to the sea. They're also not letting Jewish students on some of these campuses. We'll get to that in just a moment. You can defend free speech, but then also understand that there is a difference between speech and action. So once you set up an encampment, once you let people or do not let people enter buildings, enter public spaces, once you start throwing things at police officers, once you link arms so that if one person is misbehaving and the police want to get involved, it ends up creating a whole brawl, you are the ones breaking the law. And we just need more adults to stand up for law and order and American values and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and we can put this thing down quickly. But the more we acquiesce, and as you know, Columbia has now canceled classes for the rest of the semester and they're going all virtual. Once you give them that inch, they've won already. And think about it this way, Columbia now, and they've got professors out there with these students. It's absolutely insane. Columbia is signing its own death warrant, because now think of all of the parents that have young kids that are 15, 16, 17 years old thinking that maybe they were going to send their kids to Columbia. You think they're sending them to Columbia now? So Columbia is done. Some of these other schools, UCLA is done. It doesn't mean it's done next year, but it is done in a decade from now. Maybe it'll be a pro-Hamas university, and maybe we'll have those in the United States. But as the institutions of higher learning that we have known them to be, they are completely done. If you want an illustration of that, check out what's going on here at Columbia, where the people who claim that Israel, that the Jews are occupying the ancient land of Israel, which is completely untrue, note how good they are at occupying things. Here they are occupying Hamilton Hall over at Columbia, and look how respectful and decent they treat the place. Okay, so first off, we have no idea how many of these are even students. The university has just conceded defeat. They are destroying property at the university that is illegal. They are climbing on the building and putting giant banners up there. That is also illegal. You cannot do that at a university. They are also chanting River to the Sea, which again, I said, they are whittling that free speech as close as they can when you're calling for genocide of roughly 8 million people. 2 million of them would be Muslims who are Israeli Arabs who are complete equal citizens of the state of Israel. It's the only place that has anything like actual diversity that they purport to love in the entire Middle East. But everyone's just letting them do it. And there's video of all of these people, right? And I get it, there's a reason that they're wearing the masks, and I now fully believe, and I thought this actually for years, that the COVID mask was gonna lead to a much worse mask wearing, right? Like, they are dressed like terrorists, behaving like terrorists. They aren't killing people yet, but I guarantee you they will start. And no one is doing much of anything about it. And it's not just Colombia. This has spread like a virus, because it is a mind virus, to some of our other universities. Check out this statue of George Washington at George Washington University. This is so vile. It is absolutely extraordinary.
This is the statue of George Washington on George Washington University's campus. And this statue happens to be in the middle of the pro-Palestinian encampment on the university.
Okay, so it is not free speech, and it is not legal to vandalize public monuments. We all know that. Well, they've already done this years ago, right? This is just BLM with the mask ripped off, or I should say with the mask put on, calling George Washington genocidal, the stickers that they put on there, putting the Palestinian flag, which the Palestinian flag is only a flag of murder and death. It is not to attain a state. It is to destroy a state. But even if it was just... So let's put aside all that. Even if you're watching this and you think that their cause is completely just, you still can't do that unless you can. That's the thing, unless the people let you do it. There is video, like there is undoubtedly video of all of the people who were defacing that monument, and no one will be put in jail. No one from Colombia, as they're climbing Hamilton Hall, no one will be fined or kicked out or anything else, right? And until that starts happening, again, they are just giving oxygen, these universities, for their own destruction. Of course, they are being violent as well. There's a lot of videos of them attacking journalists and attacking other people, Jewish students and others who are just trying to wander around campus. Here's one of those.
Hey guys.
That guy's a Zionist.
Oh, is that an issue, or
I'm just an issue to be a genocide supporter? Well, yeah.
Well, no. The reason I'm here is just to gain some insight from everybody. I mean,
this insight.
Oh.
All right, so there's a kid, he just wants some insight, see what's going on. He gets called the genocide supporter, he gets attacked. Again, no one will do anything about it, doesn't matter. Like, that girl can be identified very easily. I guess she's got her fake COVID mask on, but people can figure that out. And I suspect maybe over time there are some organizations that are looking into figuring out who some of these kids are, and they should be treated accordingly, whatever the rules of the law are. But now I want to show you a video that caught fire on the internet. This is absolutely infuriating. And I think when you guys watch this show, I don't go to the, I'm not trying to gin you up so that you feel like all hell is breaking loose all the time, right? I'm not telling you we're at the precipice of darkness. But this video does have some of the pieces of, let's say, a 1930s Germany. This is a Jewish student wearing a Star of David necklace who is a student at UCLA just trying to go to class, and watch what happened. This now has millions and millions and millions of views, although I suspect it is not in the pages of the New York Times, and it did not make it to CNN or MSNBC today. Take a look.
You guys have closed the entrance. We are UCLA students. I have my ID right here. I'm being blocked off, not by the security guard, but by you two. You three. Oh, look, they're making their burger while I'm going this way. Excuse me. This is what they do. Everybody, look at this. Look at this. I'm a UCLA student. I deserve to go here. We pay tuition. This is our school. And they're not letting me walk in. My class is over there. I want to use that entrance. Why can't I go? Will you let me go in? This could be over in a second. Just let me and my friends go in to class.
We're not engaging with that.
Then you can move. Will you move?
We're not engaging with that.
Okay, we're going. I'm going in. I have my hands up. I'm not hurting them.
Okay, I mean, unbelievable. So first off, there's a security guard standing right there. So again, by him not doing anything, by him not doing his job, and I can be sympathetic with him because he's probably been told to stand down and everything else, which, by the way, that's how the Nazis actually gained power, right? Everyone just said, I was just following orders. So that guy, he's just following orders, and he probably was told, oh, don't get in these people's faces because they'll just get violent, right? So then you are punishing the law-abiding, decent student, right? And it's in a certain respect, it's irrelevant whether he's Jewish or not. They cannot, well, again, you should not be allowed to block other people from going onto campus, but they are being allowed to do it. So thankfully that has millions and millions of views. I just followed the kid on Instagram. And if he wants a job, if you want to drop out of UCLA, I'll give you, if you want to work in media or something like that, or in tech, I got some connections over there, I'd gladly figure out a way to give you a job and let's get you out of that commie hellhole that is California and UCLA. But those kids, again, that are in that video, the masked Hamas supporters, they can be identified and they should be identified and they should be kicked out of UCLA immediately. But as you guys know, the problem is we don't have enough adults. The adults have just acquiesced, they have conceded, they have folded, and thus you get a generation of terror-supporting babies, in essence. However, we used to have adults. How about a video of Ronald Reagan? It's an old video because it's even in black and white on how you react to mostly, keyword mostly, peaceful protests.
Those people told you for days in advance that if the university sought to go ahead with that construction, they were going to physically destroy the university.
Why did you negotiate many times?
Negotiate? What is to negotiate? What is?
University is a public institution.
That's right. But the university,
its own community, and for the community of Berkeley that live around it.
All of it began the first time some of you who know better and are old enough to know better let young people think that they had the right to choose the laws they would obey as long as they were doing it in the name of social protest.
I'm sick and tired of the argument about whether some effort to enforce law and order is going to escalate anything at all. Plain truth of the matter is this has to stop, and it has to stop like the day before yesterday.
I would like to propose that the issue is that on the campuses, you who are adults, you who are entrusted with those young people and their guidance, have a responsibility to make it plain to them from the very beginning that you yourselves do not tolerate the kind of conduct that has led to the burning of Wheeler Hall, that has led to two murders on the campus of UCLA.
You created an atmosphere on campus where no one wants to listen. No,
you are a liar.
You know, I have to say what's so amazing about that video, and we'll put some shorts out about that, is that Ronald Reagan, you know, Ronald Reagan was so soft and thoughtful and funny and interesting. But here he is. We should have stopped this, what did he say, the day before yesterday. And it's the exact same damn thing. And he's saying to the administrators, he's saying to the media, you guys did this. You guys instigated this. You guys said to young people, you can be violent and burn down and take over campuses. So we are just seeing the next version of that. Now it has a dash of jihad and a sprinkle of queer in it. And we are just seeing, I don't know, 40 some odd years later, the next version of that also algorithmically charged on steroids. What do we need right now? Imagine if we had a leader, or actually a whole bunch of leaders, governors, say a president who didn't have dementia, some other people, college administrators, who would actually be the Ronald Reagan of the moment. Unfortunately, we don't seem to have many of them right now. We do have a couple, but we need to kind of help them. We'll get to that at the end of the show. All right, let me talk to you guys about Moinkbox real quick. Guys, you know that 60% of U.S. pork production comes from one company owned by the Chinese, and their hogs are given ractopamine, which is banned in 160 countries, including China, yet it's in your grocery aisle every day. Well, there's a better way. I want to tell you about Moink. That's Moo plus Oink. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. Moink farmers farm like our grandparents did, and as a result, Moink meat tastes like it should because the family farm does it better. The Moink difference is a difference you can taste, and you can feel good knowing you're helping family farms stay financially independent as well. You choose the meat delivered in every box, like ribeyes to chicken breasts to pork chops to salmon fillets and much more. Plus, you can cancel anytime. Shark Tank host Kevin O'Leary called Moink's bacon the best bacon he's ever tasted, and Ring doorbell founder Jamie Siminoff jumped at the chance to invest in Moink. Plus, they guarantee you'll say, oink, oink, I'm just so happy I got Moinked. Keep American farming going by signing up at moinkbox.com/Reuben right now. And listeners of this show get two free steaks in your first box. It's the best steak you'll ever taste, but for a limited time, moinkbox.com/Reuben, moinkbox.com/Reuben. And now back to me. Okay, so when I started the show today, we talked a little bit about comedy, but what I also said is that there is an opportunity here, right? We are watching this psychotic split in the left from whatever was left of the sane Democrats, if there was anything left, and there are a few, right? You've all got an aunt or an uncle. And then the completely radical lunatics, Hamas supporters and the AOCs and everything else. And unfortunately, it's all sort of being held together by glue of a man that has dementia. This is a problem, but it presents an incredible opportunity. So now I want to show you video from the televised mental institution known as MSNBC, because Joe Scarborough, who's a complete idiot and a sellout and a buffoon on that ridiculous network, occasionally gets something right because he's not completely psychotic. He's a horrible broadcaster and a sham of a journalist, but he isn't a psychopath the way that most of the progressives are. So here he is just saying something true. And then we'll contrast that to some other people in the media.
The adults. It's staggering. Not just to me. I know I'm a conservative. Not just to me, but to 90% of Americans. They want to know where the adults are at Columbia. They want to know where the adults are at Penn. They want to know where the adults are at Harvard. They want to know where the adults are at all of these college campuses where they're letting their students and outside agitators run across the campus, shut down debate, scream whenever anybody tries to talk reason to them, shout genocidal chants, hold up signs pointing to Jews saying Hamas's next victims, holding up signs talking about the final solution, chanting constantly, from the river to the sea. You know what from the river to the sea is? If you don't, that's all right. Most of the students chanting it don't understand that they are chanting genocidal comments.
All right, joining us now.
They want to wipe out all Jews, and they want to destroy the state of Israel, and they want to kill Jews and push them. See, they are Hamas on college campuses when they chant that.
Some of them may not even know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the point.
But the adults there do.
Yes, they do.
And yet, this, by the way, this is a long time coming. This has been coming since the 1960s. And now the people that were burning down college campuses, the people that were taking over presidents' offices, those people are now on the faculty senate, in the faculty senate, trying to encourage these students to do this.
Yeah, he's actually just making the point that I just made about Ronald Reagan, right? It's the same thing repeated 40 years later. The fact that those two are married, she is such a deeply unpleasant woman, and it's clear she doesn't even agree with him, as he's just, like there, he was just laying out some basic truth. And again, I'm not showing you that because he's so great. He's not. He's horrible. He's also the same person that for years has been screaming that Trump supporters are all white supremacists and Republicans are all evil and January 6th and all of that stuff. So you guys created this problem, right? Like instead, you could be he was a Republican, now he's a Democrat. You could be some sort of moderate and could have done something to stop the loons on your side, but you did not do it. And here we are. So congratulations, Joe. You're on the way out too. And I'm guessing your wife's not giving you a blowjob anytime soon because you just went against Hamas. I was trying to get a blowjob segue here with Sunny Hostin. Well, she's got a thing on her hand, so I think she's been given a lot of hand jobs lately. Here's Sunny Hostin on The View, and she's a Hamas supporter. It's as simple as that. She is a Hamas supporter.
I think it's, you know, I think we need to shift the framing of these college protests, in my view. I think college campuses have been the place for anti-war protests for as far as I can remember. I think recent protests haven't even reached the scale of the major student protests that we saw in the late 1960s against the Vietnam War, or even the 1980s against South Africa's practice of apartheid. We saw calls during apartheid to divest from South African companies, and that was very successful. Nelson Mandela said he believed that's what led in many respects to South Africa being freed from that system. And so I think these are anti-war protests, and I think it's very distressing that we are framing these as pro-Palestinian protests or pro-Israeli protests. These are anti-war protests, and what they are, the students that I have spoken to at many of the Ivy League schools, and a student that I did speak to also at Emory, where a professor was thrown to the ground simply for asking the police, what are you doing to these peacefully protesting students? The students are telling me this is a humanitarian crisis.
Okay, everything she said there was a lie. I actually have hatred for that woman. I have hatred in my heart. It's like, you don't want to have hatred in your heart, but something's happened. It's not that I just think she's evil and a racist. I now hate her deeply. I'm glad something's wrong with her hand. That's not a feeling that I like to have. That's not me. I'll have to work through that. But that aside, they're not anti-war protests. The protests are calling for genocide. They want the destruction of the state of Israel. Just listen to what they are saying. They want all those dead Jews, and they don't want Jews on their campuses, and they ultimately want to destroy America, and they're not really thrilled with white people or freedom or anything else. They are not pro-Palestinian either. If you were pro-Palestinian, what would you want right now? What would be a sane protest to be having right now? If there were thousands of people on the streets chanting, Hamas, let the hostages go, well, that would end the war. If Hamas right this moment, as I'm speaking right now, as you're watching this live stream, if Hamas just let the hostages go, Israel would stop attacking. They'd have their people back, and then they have to work out territorial stuff, and there's going to be many, many years of bad blood and everything else. But like, that would be, if you were pro-Palestinian, so you wanted to save the Gazans' lives, let's say, you would be anti-Hamas. But these are all pro-Hamas. Now I want to show you one more. Oh no, we got two more of the view. But this Whoopi. She was one of the most beloved actresses in America. She has morphed into part Predator, part Jabba the Hutt, and total terror supporter. Enjoy.
I haven't said anything. I'm sorry. I do have to do this. It is one of the great rights as an American to stand up and say something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what your color is, if you're a woman, man, doesn't matter. And we must teach our people how to be on the lookout. Part of our problem is the media takes what is the best clickbait. So you see the same posters, or you see the same people, but you don't see the folks who are doing peaceful stuff and saying, here's what we want to do. I would caution the media to be very careful about what they're doing and how they're handling this, because what they seem to be doing is pushing a narrative that people are pushing against, which students are pushing against, which I'm thrilled to see, because I like when students get mad and say, we want a change made.
Oh, do you, Whoopi? Because I'm pretty sure if this was a bunch of Trump supporters and they were stopping black kids from going onto college campuses and calling for, I don't know, the destruction of a black country, a largely black country, you would not be saying that. Your hypocrisy is ridiculous, you fat bitch. We're going to drop the other. You see what they did to me? You see what they did to me? We're going to drop the other view clip because we're in a bit of a rush today, and I can't do it anymore. It's not good for me. I want to show you something by Guy Benson, my friend Guy Benson. He's been on the show many times. He's a Fox News contributor. I thought he had a tweet that really summed up politically what's going on here and what the opportunity really is. He wrote this: horror show of a CNN poll for Biden. Trump ahead outside of the margin of error. Up even bigger with expanded field. Majorities see Biden's presidency as a failure and Trump's as a success. 60% disapproval for the incumbent. I want to focus on the Israel war data point for a moment. Biden is at a dreadful 28-71 on his handling of the Israel-Hamas war. Media will focus on him being deep underwater, 19-81, on the issue among young voters, pushing the narrative that he's still seen as too pro-Israel. But he's relatively strong on the issue among partisan Democrats, 46 and 53. Among Republicans and independents, who are much more pro-Israel than the Democratic base at this point, he's at 13 and 87, 27 and 73, respectively. Now, here's the key part. Biden has pandered hard to the Hamas sympathizers for weeks. This has earned him approximately zero credit with that crowd. Meanwhile, normies and Israel supporters are disgusted with his handling of the issue. He is impressing no one, and Israel's supporters heavily outnumber Israel's haters in America, despite what he might be seeing and hearing on his favored cable news channels, on social media, and among his hyper online staff. So that is the key, and it's also the opportunity. The radical, lunatic, progressive base, and the AOCs and the Talibs and the rest of them, they are the ones that are driving the policy, but it does not matter. It's not helping Joe Biden, because decent Democrats, whoever is left, have just sort of had it with him. And by the way, it's not just because of Israel. That's what Benson is focusing on there, but it's also because of the economy, and it's largely because of the border. Actually, that's a major one. We'll get to that in a sec. And they've just absolutely had it with him. And actually, people see the complete incompetence of this administration. And speaking of incompetence of this administration, Karine Jean-Pierre, the diversity hire who's running the White House press secretary office over there, here she is. And she just doesn't know what's going on at these college campuses. Nobody's got a phone. They haven't spoke to anybody. She doesn't know.
I'm sorry if I missed this, but yeah. Is the answer no, the administration has not been in touch with anyone at Columbia?
I don't have any readout. I should have answered that in, I believe that was Jeff's question. I don't have any calls to read out to you of conversations with any university, university leaders at this time. Obviously, the president's going to go speak at Morehouse, and so we've been in touch with them because he's going to deliver a commencement speech. He's looking forward to doing that. It is such an important moment in time for graduates, and he's going to go, obviously, to West Point. Those are the two that he's doing.
Oh, it's an important time for graduates. Does he have anything to say about USC, which canceled graduation because of this? Is it odd that that man can't just get on the phone and ask a couple college presidents, hey guys, are you able to defend the rights of your students who are peaceful and who just want to go to class and the rest of it? But no, he can't. Now, I want to show you one other thing, because I'm talking about this opportunity, right? The opportunity for this wide tent. All hell is breaking loose in the administration. This is from the New York Post as it pertains to that lady. Top aides to President Biden secretly hatched a plan this past fall to replace White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre by recruiting outside allies to nudge her out the door, the Post has learned. Jean-Pierre, who made history in May 22 by becoming the first Black and first openly gay person to hold the position, fabulous, had developed the exasperating habit of reading canned answers directly from a binder to reporters at her regular briefings, offering what her superiors viewed as a less than compelling pitch for the 81-year-old Biden as he readied his reelection campaign. De facto White House communications chief Anita Dunn, 66, the wife of Biden personal attorney Bob Bauer, told colleagues she had decided to call in prominent Democrats to explain to Jean-Pierre, 49, that the time was ripe to move on, sources told the Post. There were a number of people she asked to engage Karine. One source who heard of the strategy directly from Dunn, whose role as senior advisor has been filled during the past three presidencies by Jared Kushner, that was under Trump, Valerie Jarrett under Obama, and Karl Rove, George W. Bush. The source also told the Post that Dunn had claimed that White House Chief of Staff Jeff Zients knew about and supported the cloak and dagger scheme to rush Jean-Pierre out of the West Wing. There's a huge diversity issue, and they're afraid of what folks are going to say, added this source, who said they learned of the effort from multiple people briefed by Dunn and confirmed at least one person from outside the administration did speak with Jean-Pierre. She has been pretty consistent in telling people from the minute she got the job that she was going to stay through the election. I think Karine has decided to stay come hell or high water, and that's that. Do you realize, guys, how absolutely spectacularly beautiful this is? They hired this woman because she was a Black lesbian. She was not qualified. She has been over her head on all of this. She's unbelievably awful. She cannot answer a question honestly. Everyone thinks she's a liar and not competent at what her job is. But congratulations, Democrats. You went all in on DEI, and now you are afraid that this woman who is ruining your chances at re-election, because Biden's 81 and has dementia, everyone, you can see in the polls that everyone's turning against him, and you put her out there to defend you, and you're afraid if you replace her now, she'll burn you down because she'll say you fired the Black lesbian. Mwah! I love you people. It's spectacular. I feel much better now. I'm sorry about that Sonny Hostin thing. It's just great. Just great. Anyway, so what is the opportunity? Well, we've got some interesting info here because most people are starting to come around once again to a certain orange man, and with good reason.
San Diego city leaders say on Wednesday alone, 2,000 migrants were apprehended. The new reality appearing to change the minds of Americans on the best way to respond. A brand new Axios Harris poll just found a stunning 51% of Americans now support mass deportations of undocumented immigrants. That includes 42% of Democrats.
You see, so now 51% want mass deportations. There was a certain orange man who wanted to build a wall, and he was told he was racist. And then we got rid of him and we brought in a man with dementia. Now 7 million people have come in 3 years. So the point is the left is becoming wildly divided right now. Whatever sane portion of the left or old school Democrat, for as bad as you think they were probably or are, they are now in a fight with the radicals, and the radicals, all they've got is you're racist and I'm a lesbian and everything else. So the left is becoming divided, and I think something interesting is happening on the right. It is starting to become a bit divided. So now I want to show you video of James Carville. You know James Carville. He was a legendary Democrat strategist, helped get Bill Clinton elected a couple of times. Here he is talking about that divide on the left and what might be happening on the right, and it's very scary if that all happens the way he sees it might.
If they get a hold, there will be no government left. There'll be no rights left. You'll live under theocracy. You'll end up Christian nationalism. But that's all right, you little 26-year-old. You don't feel like the election's important to me. They're not addressing the issues that I care about.
He seems like a pleasant guy. Anyway, you may remember I sat right next to him on Real Time with Bill Maher, and I told him that the Donald Trump very fine people on both sides, Charlottesville, Virginia thing, that was a complete hoax, and check his response.
People on both sides of Charlottesville? I don't know. Did I hear that, or did I make that up? That Trump said they're good people on both sides.
He didn't say that.
He did not. He said it, but a sentence later he said,
I'm not talking about the white supremacists and the neo-Nazis.
It's like Elon Musk. It was badly phrased.
Yeah, you can't bust my lie in real time on real time. Okay. So if these are the people, you see what they're doing. This is what MSNBC does all the time. If Trump is reelected, fascism, racism, Nazis, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, they've got their modern Nazis taking over universities and everything else. So the opportunity right now for Donald Trump, for anyone who is sane and loves this country and wants this beautiful thing to continue just a bit longer, let's try just a bit, and then we'll get on to the long-term project. We've got to start coming together. And guess what, guys? There's a lot of evidence of it. Check out what happened yesterday. This is from the leading report. Breaking, former President Donald Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis allegedly met privately this morning in Miami. And it is true, they did in my fair city. And here's a post from Donald Trump right after that meeting. I am very happy to have the full and enthusiastic support of Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. We had a great meeting yesterday arranged by mutual friend Steve Witkoff at his beautiful Shell Bay Club in Hollywood, Florida. The conversation mostly concerned how we would work closely together to make America great again. Also discussed was the future of Florida, which is fantastic. I greatly appreciate Ron's support in taking back our country from the worst president in history of the United States. November 5th is a big day. So look, there was a whole bunch of fighting. It is refreshing to see him called Governor DeSantis and Ron instead of DeSantis and everything else. I hit Trump left and right because of all of that stuff. But if these two guys are coming together right now, that shows you whatever rift was existing on the right is starting to be healed. My friend Jesse Kelly, I thought, had a great tweet on this. He wrote, Trump and DeSantis burying the hatchet is one of those things that's good for everyone, and most hardcore supporters of each probably won't be able to see it. It's good for Trump. It's good for DeSantis. There are no downsides to it. Take the W. Right. So guys, even if you're watching this show and you're still pissed at Trump because of some of the things he did to DeSantis during the primary, and it's all legit, there's an opportunity here. Even if you're a Trump person and you thought that DeSantis was just supposed to wait and never go against him, there's an opportunity here. And bringing this together is part of the Y tent. And now let's get to the other side of the Y tent, because that's bringing the more traditionally right-leaning people together. But now what I think we can do with this Y tent is start bringing in the lefties. I sat down with Tulsi Gabbard a couple days ago in this very studio, and I asked her if she would be Trump's VP.
So on that note, I'll ask you the last question. You know what it is already, but I'll frame it a little bit differently, which is that I think you should be the choice. It is obvious to me, like it's really obvious to me, that if Trump wants to win this election, he needs to bring in what you represent, and you are you. So if you get the call, I've heard you answer this at least once already, but I sense that the momentum is going to go in that way. Like, you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready because I know what is at stake in a deep and visceral way in this election. I'm not on a ballot. I could be home right now in Hawaii and surfing and kicking back and, you know,
I was going to say, I know what you'd be doing.
Relaxing.
Yeah.
Um, But I have chosen, I won't be home until after this election is done because I know what's at stake. And if that call came, I would say yes. And I'd be honored to serve my country in that way and to be in a position first to help win this election, to stop the Democrat elite from destroying our country, and then actually begin the real work of getting our country back on track. And that starts with having people of courage in our government who care more about the country than they do about the political elite in Washington, and actually rooting out the deep rot that exists within our bureaucracies, the administrative state, the deep state in Washington. It's going to take a team of joyful warriors to go and fight that fight. Because as we've seen time and time again, there are a lot of powerful people who are unelected in doing everything they can to hold on to their power at the cost of the well-being of the American people.
You think she'd be better than Kamala Harris? It's good to see.
Is that even a question?
All right. So I think you guys get it, right? So now if we've started to heal the wounds on the right, the Trump DeSantis thing, right? And now you start looking to the left and you go, boy, there's all these disaffected Democrats. They want to be part of this. They're leaving the party in droves because it's not just Tulsi. It's people like me. It's people like Bill Maher. It's people like Joe Rogan. It's people like Elon Musk. But you got to give them room to do it. I think Tulsi represents that. Now you got something real wide. And I want to add another guy who the day he announced he was running for president as a Democrat, I said he will not be a Democrat by the end of the thing. I said, I don't know if he's going to be a Republican, but I guarantee you he won't be a Democrat. Here is RFK talking to Ben Shapiro about what Trump needs to do better this time around.
Some regulatory capture. I think that even President Trump would admit at this point that he would have to do a much better job in his second term with regard to staffing.
But why do you give him a second term if he's messed it up so badly the first time? He said he was going to do that the first time. If I had been president, I would have done it. He was able, and even when he knew what was wrong, he said, well, I'll never lock down this country. But he got rolled by his bureaucrats.
I mean, I think that a lot of people who support President Trump, myself included, will believe that he got rolled by his own state.
Yeah,
and that's why 2020 was a disaster.
We need somebody in there who will not get rolled by their bureaucrats. The last day my uncle took a vote, and he already knew what he was going to do, the embargo. He said, he took a vote. He said, this is the final vote. And they voted 8-6 to invade. And my uncle said, the six is habit. So what he was saying is, I'm listening to you. You're experts. I value your advice, but I'm going to make up my own mind about what's good, what's best for this country.
And unfortunately, when it comes to deregulation,
President Trump has shown that he doesn't have that capacity.
Okay, so why am I showing you guys that clip right now with RFK going after Trump? Because the point is, if Trump learned from the lessons, and then he can bring in the ex-Dems, and then imagine you've got Trump as president, you've got Tulsi as VP, you have DeSantis, maybe he goes to attorney general or something, although quite honestly, I'd rather him just stay here in Florida. Now imagine Vivek, as chief of staff going at it with the media. I mean, that would be freaking something. And then what if you had RFK as head of the CIA or NIH, or just tasked with the job, maybe he's attorney general, or just tasked with the job of blowing apart the agencies. You start building a super team. Then a guy like Elon Musk is like, you know what, I'll help you staff too. And you wanna come and America will be the first country on Mars? How about we do that? Guys, we can do it. The opportunity is there. Let them run on the Hamas ticket. Let them run on the diversity, equity, and inclusion ticket where everything is melted down and destroyed, and a guy with dementia is the avatar for the destruction. That is the opportunity. We actually did have one more RFK clip talking about how we get out of this thing and to bridge that left and right divide. I'm going to go now. We're going to show that to you as the cold close, and we will be back tomorrow from Savannah, Georgia. We're going to do a show from my hotel room. First time ever. We're testing it out from the official Dave Rubin hotel room in Savannah, Georgia tomorrow. Okay, ciao. Goodbye.
We're right now fighting Democrats, Republicans, and I don't think it's Democrats and Republicans. I think that's a stage show. I think it is the elites and the people.
It's a populism and like a class war, like you say, populism is easily hijacked by demagogues.
Yes.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be dark.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be fascism or Nazism.
Yes.
It was the populist movement in our country in 1903 that got rid of the Gilded Age, and we got the 40-hour work week. We had the child labor. We got women the vote. We got, you know, we got the Sherman Antitrust Act passed, and we made corporations to pay taxes for the first time. You know, we're seeing a revolution in this country that's going to happen. You can't have a situation, 57% of the people in this country can't put their hands on $1,000 if they have an emergency. 54% of the people in this country are not making enough money to pay for basic human needs. And there's going to be a revolution. And is it going to be captured by dark regressive forces? Or are we going to be able to keep it as an expression of idealism?
Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the postgame wrap-up every day after the show at rubinreport.locals.com.